The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
We are continuing our journey in the book of Mark. And if you remember last week, Jesus has gone into the northern Gentile territory. He's gone deep into the territory of the Gentiles to where none of the actual leaders of the Jewish people, none of the church leaders will go. And while he's there, he meets a woman and he heals her daughter after a period of time. And what we're finding today is he's still kind of in that area. Now, I want to warn you before we start this that I may not stick to my sermon, what I've written out. So your notes you have in there, it may not follow that. I've been thinking about this and I want to really start teaching directly from the scriptures, and I do, but I want to do it even more. So as we continue through Mark, I may wander a bit, so I apologize for that. But I want to let the Holy Spirit speak to me and allow me to tell you exactly what I think he's wanting us to learn from the scripture. Ultimately, I think we're going to end up sometime in the book of Acts, and that's how I like to preach Acts, so I want to kind of get us used to that. But we are in... I'll still keep my notes here every once in a while. I have to glance at them, just make sure I'm on track. Mark 7. We're going to be Mark 7, verses 31 through 37. And I'm going to ask that you stand as we read God's word to honor his word. It says, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And there they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you for your word. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to the message that the Holy Spirit's telling us in these words. Help us to see and to grow. To learn and to be your people on mission for your kingdom. Amen. You may be seated. One of the first things I find kind of interesting about this telling of Jesus, what he's doing. Remember, if you bring up the map, you can see that he was right around Tyre in the last week. And so it begins here saying that he's going from Tyre to Sidon, going through there to go to the Sea of Galilee. Now, what's the first thing you kind of notice about the problem with that route? Well, if he's in Tyre, which is down here in the lower right where it says Phoenicia, and he's going to the Sea of Galilee, don't you think he would come down this way to go south? That'd be like saying, you know, I'm going to go to Fort Wayne by way of Bluffton. Wait a minute. Or better yet, I'm going to go to, Fort Wayne by way of Bluffton, or go to Bluffton by way of Fort Wayne, either way. It's a strange thing that he's doing. He is going north to go south. But we have to remember what's going on here. Jesus has now gone into the Gentile territory, as I said, but he is also not doing a lot of public ministry. This is his time of sabbatical, I would say. He is getting to spend some really quality time with the apostles because this is the calm before the storm. This is before things really start ramping up and you can actually feel as you read the gospels, you can actually feel it getting quicker and quicker and you start to feel the excitement because Passover is coming and they're going to be going to Jerusalem. Now, normally when somebody takes a sabbatical, they'll take a sabbatical and they will... You know, they'll teach themselves, they'll spend some time in prayer, just kind of rejuvenate themselves for the benefit of the church. And that's what Jesus is doing. He is trying to benefit, he's trying to teach his apostles. It is said he probably spent 8 months in this region up here in Phoenicia. So he's up there and he's teaching. But while he's teaching, he doesn't get to not do any of his ministry because the woman comes. And now he's coming, he's up in Sidon and he's coming through there. He's actually up in that area and they bring another man to him. And now he's down around the Decapolis area, the 10 cities. And they bring him a man, a roundabout journey to get to a place where his ministry continues, still Gentile territory. And where he ends up is actually on the east side. You can see where it says Galilee and it says Capernaum and Magdala and Cana and Sepphoris, Nazareth. That's kind of part of the 10 cities. This is a Gentile area. And it's not necessarily where all his ministry was to happen. He came to first save the Jews. But now he is in Gentile territory. And he is doing things for them. So they bring to him this deaf man. A group of friends brings this deaf gentleman to him. I know when I was reading that, I kind of thought of when they lowered the man on the mat in front of Jesus. These friends care for this deaf man. And it is assumed that the man had probably been deaf most of his life. It's not that he just can't hear, but he can't talk. He has a hard time communicating. And what Jesus does for him, it's beautiful what Jesus does for this man. He takes him aside. You know, a lot of times when Jesus would do miracles, he'd be in the crowd. And the crowd, you know, they would bring all these people to him who were sick. You know, when they lowered the man from the roof, there was a crowd in the house. That's why they had to do that. But what's interesting is, at this time, what does Jesus do? He takes this man by himself off to the side. And I got to wonder, why would he do that? Well, first of all, you know, if you know anybody who's deaf, you can kind of understand why Jesus was caring so much for this man. My mom and dad had neighbors. They had neighbors who were both deaf. And I always remember how difficult at times it was to communicate. I mean, my parents, we learned how to communicate with them. We didn't know sign language. And understand, this was long before sign language. You know, we would, when Jean and Shirley were out, we were talking to them. We made sure that we were looking at them in the face, so they could read our lips. We would use hand motions. We'd use our hands to show things and to do things. And they would communicate back with us. And I was always amazed how they can't hear our voice, but they know what we're saying. And I'm sure that this man knew his friends could understand him and he could understand them. But think about a deaf person being in a crowd and somebody yells at them. There's something going on. Let's say you're in a crowd and there's a deaf person there and there's a fire. And somebody else fire and everybody starts running. I mean, what would the deaf person think? Oh my gosh, what's going on? They wouldn't know. I mean, I truly believe that a deaf and mute person has probably a harder time than somebody who's blind. Now, granted, I wouldn't want to have either, really. I'm blessed that God did not had me born that way. I mean, I look outside today and I see the trees blooming. I see the grass. I see the sea of yellow that got mowed yesterday. It's beautiful and I relish that. But then I think of hearing and I think of music. I think of birds singing early in the morning. Yeah, sometimes I wake up early and I hear the birds singing. Birds singing in the morning. I think of children laughing and playing. I think of the sound of my wife's voice as she says, I love you. And I think of what can I say? What are the things I say with my mouth and the beautiful poems I can recite, the songs I can sing, the words of encouragement I can say, and the words of Audrey-ness
that I can say. If any of you know me well enough, I can be a little ornery at times. This man had not experienced hearing the music, the sound of children, the sound of the birds, the sound of his own family. Could not easily sing. So, and can you imagine as a young child, how difficult would it be to be deaf? I mean, even today, chances are they are picked on, right? They're picked on because of their deafness. Bullied. And yet here's this man, his friends cared enough to bring him to Jesus, who was a Jew, and they're Gentile, because that's what area they were in. Chances are they were Gentiles. And what does Jesus do? Instead of embarrassing him right there, making him the center of the attention of the whole crowd, he brings him by himself and focuses his full attention on the man. What a beautiful picture this is. Now, if we think back to how Jesus healed the woman the woman's daughter last week, remember, she was pleading with him, "Lord, please help my daughter. She's possessed by a demon." And Jesus kind of is quiet, and then she just pleads with him. And then he heals the girl from a distance. He never even sees her. But here, the men bring this friend and say, "Can you heal him?" And Jesus immediately takes him aside by himself and begins the process of healing him. Now, this is a weird process that Jesus goes through. First of all, Jesus, he can heal any way possible. He can say a word and the person's healed. He can heal from a distance. He's done it. He healed Jairus' daughter from a distance. He healed the daughter of this woman, the Syrophoenician woman, from a distance. He can touch people. People can touch his robe and they're healed. Happened to the woman who was bleeding as he's going to heal Jairus' daughter. But what does Jesus do? He could have said the word right there and said, "You're healed," and done. But he brings the man aside, and he takes his fingers, and he sticks them. And what's interesting, the word here for sticking them in his ears is not just like, ooh, he pokes the man's ears. And then Jesus takes some of his own spit and puts it on the man's tongue. Now, if you're a mother, taking your own spit and putting it on your child is no big deal. They do it all the time, right? Child gets a little bit of dirt on it, you lick it and you. But actually, in ancient times, it was believed that saliva had curing properties. And that may have been why Jesus was doing it. But thinking of the character of who Jesus was, and thinking of how he was treating this man, makes me think that what he's doing is he's showing this man what he's going to do. He's telling him by showing him. He's saying, "I am going to unplug your ears, and I am going to open your tongue." But then he does one more thing. He looks like this. And he groans. I think what he is doing there, he is telling this man, "I'm going to be the channel. I'm going to be the one putting my, healing you, but it's not me doing it. It's the Father." Remember, I've said this when we were talking in the four chairs, we were talking about the fact that nothing that Jesus did he do of his own power. Yes, Jesus is fully God. He has the full power of God at his resource. He can do anything God can do. He is God. But while he was here on earth, he never once used his own power. He used the power that came from his Father through the Holy Spirit. That's why you see him praying before he does a miracle. He is praying to the Father to do the miracle through him. And why he did that was because he wanted to show us, this is what a lot of the theologians will say, he's trying to show us that we too will do greater things. Because if he did everything by his own power, we could sit and say, well, I can't do anything that Jesus did, because what? He's God. He used his own power. No, he used the power the Father had through the Holy Spirit. And you and I, guess what? We have the power of God at our resources through the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't believe we all can run around and heal everybody. That's not God's will. But I'll tell you, we can heal souls by introducing them to Jesus. And that's far greater than anything Jesus ever did. So he sits and he prays to God, the Father, showing the man that that's where it's coming from. Not him, from God himself. God the Father. And then Jesus groans. And this groan is a deep groan. And it's not a, you know, I have been known to groan. I have been known to go, ugh. Right? I bet every one of us in this room could say at one time in their life, at least once you've gone, ugh. You know. There's a difference between that and, ugh. I mean, there's compassion. Jesus is seeing this man and knowing what he's experienced. I'm sure the Holy Spirit is speaking to Christ saying, here's what this guy has experienced his whole life. The pain, the separation, the loss, the not able to hear his children, not able to hear music, not able to hear the birds singing, not able to hear water running. I mean, a simple thing as water. I love waterfalls. And as I can, walking towards a waterfall, I love it when you can't see it, but you can hear it. And you're like, oh. Imagine not being able to experience that. Not being able to speak. I mean, you could write, I love you. But I don't know, there's something. My wife can write me notes all the time, and believe me, she does. She writes notes. She wrote me a note, I love you, I love you. She sends me a text saying, I love you. But there's nothing like hearing her tell me, I love you. I think Jesus is feeling everything this man has felt. And he's groaning because he has such compassion for this man. In Romans chapter 8, verse 23. It says before that in Romans 8, 22 and 21, 22, talks about the fact that creation is groaning in anticipation of the revealing of the sons of God. It is groaning. And it says here, he continues on, Paul says, and not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. Man, I understand that completely. There's a lot of scripture I don't understand. That I understand. I groan in anticipation of the new body that God's going to give me. I hurt. I groan now because I hurt. All right? Today, right now, my back is killing me. I hurt. But that's not the groaning that I'm talking about. I'm talking about this deep longing to have a new body and to see Christ face to face. Like this man did. And Jesus groaning because of what this man has experienced. You see, I think this whole process of what Jesus is doing to this man is to kind of show that Jesus does not heal by saying just the right words. There's no magical incantation that Jesus uses to heal. He does none of his miracles by just saying the magic word. All right? He doesn't wave a wand. Now, I know Hollywood shows that's how magic happens, but that's not magic. In fact, I've been trying to explain to the kids what magic is. I say, you know, when you watch on TV and you see a magician, that's not magic. That's illusion. I've studied it. I've trained in it, actually. I'm not very good at it, but it's illusion. I'll give you a secret. I'll give you one secret. When somebody takes and they take a cloth and they stuff it into their hand, and then they go like this and it disappears. It didn't disappear. They have a fake thumb on them, and they push it into the thumb, and then they do this. But when they put their fingers towards you like this, you can't see the fake thumb. There's no magic. There's no such thing as magic. It's illusion. What Jesus is doing is not magic. What Jesus is doing is a miracle. It's a healing. And he's showing this man and showing us that he doesn't heal that way. He doesn't heal by magic. His power comes from God. And Jesus commands things to happen through the power of God. And what does Jesus do? He tells this man, Epaphatha, which is Aramaic for be open. He tells this man's body to open. What's interesting is, this is a Gentile man. Gentiles, they would not have been speaking Aramaic. They would have spoken Greek. And here Jesus is speaking Aramaic to him. It's just interesting. I don't know why. We don't know why. It's just rather interesting that he used that word. But it's be open. Open up. And I have to wonder, why did he use that term, be open? I mean, were his ears closed? Well, maybe. But his tongue wasn't closed, right? It's not that his mouth was closed and he couldn't open it and eat. It's not that his ears were clogged. It was that they were just not working. But he tells them, be open. And I think what he's telling them is, you need to be open to God. He tells us, you need to open your hearts to God. He's around you. He's talking to you. He's calling you. I was praying this morning with praise team. I said, you know, God, I know you call people here. You guys are not here just because you wanted to be here. You're here because God called you here. The Holy Spirit calls. The question is, do we hear him? Do we answer him? I called, you answered. The song we just sang. God calls us. Are we answering him? This man answered because Jesus said, open, be open. And his mouth and his ears were open. And what happens is, it wasn't just that his mouth and ear, but he begins to speak plainly. Now, could you imagine? You can't hear, you can't speak, and all of a sudden you start speaking normal, whatever that is. I haven't yet to find anybody who speaks normal because nobody speaks like I do. And that's normal for me. For him, it was plainly. They all could understand him. Could you imagine that? All of a sudden, you're hearing and you hear Jesus' words after he says, be opened. And you hear the people outside. You hear the birds. And what does Jesus tell him? Jesus says to him, says to the crowd, don't say anything. And I'm really laughing because that's funny. How could you not say something? You just opened his mouth. He can now talk. Your best friend can now speak to you. He can now hear you tell him how much you care for him. He can now hear his children crying and playing and laughing. He can hear his wife tell him that he loves her. He can now hear the birds. He can hear the water. He can hear the, he can hear, I mean, wouldn't you go around wanting to hear everything? Wouldn't you? Oh, wait a minute. I need to hear that. Oh. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think his friends could have kept quiet. They can't. They cannot keep quiet. They tell everybody. They want to tell everybody. Hey, guess what? Guess what happened? You remember Bob? You know, he couldn't talk. He couldn't hear. Guess what? He can talk and he can hear. Well, how'd that happen? Oh, this guy named Jesus, he's this Jew from over in Nazareth. Bob says that he put his fingers in his ear and put a spit on his tongue. Well, that's sick. Well, I know, but it worked. And guess what? He could hear. That's amazing. They couldn't keep it quiet. And the more Jesus says, no, don't talk about it. And you're like, well, why does he say that? It's not his time yet. It's not time yet for the Gentiles to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because guess what? That was the apostles' job. Jesus' job was his responsibility while he was here was to reach the Jews, his people, to reach them first. Then he's training up the apostles to go out and to reach the Gentiles. And guess what? You and I are part of that too. Your job and my job is to reach the world. But he's telling them, don't do it now because he doesn't want them flocking him. I think there's a couple of reasons. Another reason why could be he doesn't want them flocking him because he's not just a miracle healer. That's not why he came. Yes, he came to heal, but he didn't just come to heal physically. Jesus came to heal spiritually. He came to heal the relationship between God and man. But it's not time yet for the Gentiles. The Jews must first reject him, which they will do. And the Gentiles pick it up and believe. See, you and I live in the time of the Gentiles. You and I, though we are grafted into the family of God, and in reality we are Jewish by God's descent, we are still in the time of the Gentiles. We are still on a mission to reach those who don't know Jesus. Not Jesus the miracle worker. Not Jesus the good guy from Nazareth. No, we're talking about Jesus, the one who died on the cross for us, died for our sins, has redeemed us so that we can have a relationship with God the Father, so that we can go and tell others. That's why he doesn't want them told. But the crowd responds by continuing to show and to tell. Now, as I kind of wrap this up, what's the point of this? Well, first of all, we have to look at how Jesus did this. As I said before, remember, Jesus just in the previous part of this chapter had healed the young woman, the young girl from a distance. You and I, we could lead people to Christ from a distance. We could all get on the telephone and call as many people as we know. We could all get on the radio and tell people about Jesus. We could all get a bullhorn and just shout it out. We could. Or we can do what Jesus did and take the man, the one man, our neighbor, our friend, our coworker, our family member, that one person, and say, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you who Jesus is to me, what he did for me. And he wants to do the same for you. So don't ignore his call on your life. Answer it. And I'm here. I'm here to help you answer it. I'm here to walk with you. I am here to take you to Jesus so that you too can be healed. I am here to walk with you as you learn, as you grow. And then I'm here to help you as you find somebody else that you know who needs Jesus. But we have to do it with compassion. We have to do it because we care for the person. We have to actually be physically in their presence. If my neighbor next to me, if all I ever do is wave at him and say, hey, you need to know Jesus, he's going to say, yeah, you need to get yourself checked out. But if I come to him and say, hey, I want to help you with your yard here, or I want to sit and talk, or whatever, and you say, I need to tell you something. God's been telling me I need to tell you this. And just let it out. If the Holy Spirit's been talking to them, they're not going to be upset with you, and you're still going to be able to be neighbors and be friends. If he hasn't, then they may say, well, yeah, that's good for you, but whatever. So what do? You keep praying for them, but you keep being their friend, and you keep doing things with them. Jesus touched this man, and he let him know where it comes from. So as you're talking to your friends, talking to your family, talking to your coworkers, and they're like, man, there's something different about you. I always laugh when somebody says that to me. I'm like, you have no idea. There's something different about you. It's like, yeah, I know. I'll tell you why. When you want to know, you ask me, and I'll tell you why. Well, tell me. Well, it's because I have Jesus, and he's changed my life. That's why Jesus did it this way. He did it to show us that we need to be in relationships with those who don't know Jesus. We need to do ministry that way. Not from a bullhorn, not from a distance. Not come and see, which is important. We need to do come and see, but also go and reach. That's what Jesus did. That's what we need to do. We need to teach people that God wants to change their life from the inside out. Jesus changes lives. And the reason why is because he died for us. He changes our relationship with God, with creation, with each other. And he died on the cross for that. That's why we take communion. We take communion to remind us that it was Jesus who died for us. It was Jesus who took our sins on him on the cross and died. It's Jesus who made that sacrifice so that we could be in the presence of God the Father, because he can't be in the presence of sin. He is so holy, he cannot. He can't look upon sin. That's why that one moment in Jesus' life, God the Father turned his back on him, because he was covered in yours and my sin. All of it. All of it that I have committed, all of it that I'm committing, all of that I'm going to commit. All of it. And this table that we do is this time of remembrance, of remembering who Jesus is, what he did, and what great things he did for us. It's the purpose he came. He came to seek and to save the lost. And you and I were lost.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.